The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you came so that we might be free. We might be free of people's expectations. That we might be free, Father, to operate in how you've created us. So, Father, as we study your word concerning this, we know that your Holy Spirit will teach us, that you will manifest yourself to us, and that you will give us what we need. So thank you, Father, for meeting us here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had a professional speech therapist person in my last church for a season. And whenever I would struggle with my allergies and my voice would get bad, she would always tell me how to speak so that I could save my voice. And she would just say, "Now just stay calm. Don't raise your voice. Don't get animated. Just deliver." And in almost 30 years of ministry, I've never been able to do that. I do know that I will keep my voice longer if I can stay calm, if I can talk slower, and if I can keep one of these mints in my mouth. I have two of them up here. Generally, they're between 12 and 20 minutes apiece. So we have 24 to 40 minutes worth of mints. That's when we'll stop. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be disobedient again. I'll just tell you, I just want to keep saying that to you, and I'm hoping God's listening to me. This has been one of those times where I'm absolutely sure that God has anointed His message, and I was in the wrong to come here to begin with. It's just a weird thing. Sorry, I'm just kind of trying to deal with it here. Verse number 10. In the morning service this morning, we talked about the oracle of God. Let me give you a bit of a definition. Inside of each one of us is this thing, this weighty, awkward existence of a thing down here that makes us act and react based on how God has spoken to us. So for an example, I happen to know that there are some people in here who carry in their car little wrapped protein bars and things like this, because they can't drive by a homeless person without giving something to them. That's just how their heart works. I can drive by with impunity. Don't make any difference to me, you know. And you say, "Well, you're kind of calloused." I can't answer a question inside 3.5 to 10 minutes, because every question is an opportunity to teach. That's what happens in me. Ask me a question, you'll get more answer than you need. I will know that, I'll know it's happening, and I won't hardly be able to stop it from coming out. It's just that way. Inside of me and you is a specifically designed oracle, a weighty recognition of the power, the importance, and the actions of God's Word inside of each and every one of us. You need to get the first lesson. We'll record this lesson. Next week we'll do the third lesson. But look with me, if you will, to 10th verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. Did I tell you that? Good. So you're all there. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." Let's stop there, because that's our point. The Scripture uses the word oracles here in my Bible and in many of your Bibles. And the reason that that it's translated in some of your Bibles is to something else, prophetic utterance or words or whatever, is because there's no great way to translate this out of the original language. Oracle is just the word that fits. It literally means the weighty recognition of the impartation of God's Word in power, importance, and action. That's an oracle. The Bible says each one has received a gift. So I want everybody in here, Sunday school people, you may be able to get this right off the bat. I want everybody in here who's received a gift to raise their hand. Now, everybody's hand should be up. The Bible says everyone has received, past tense. Whether you realize it, whether you agree with it, whether you understand it, you have been given a gift by God, period. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to help you with that a little bit today and teach you about how to operate in it. Some of you think that your personality is just a particular way, and that's why you are the way you are. But let me help you a little bit. If you're fearfully and wonderfully made, if God thought of you before the foundation of the earth, if you were in God's mind before He did anything else, then He created you purposely. You have been made with a spiritual DNA that's caused you to grow and be like you are. You know what Tracy was talking about in the women's meeting, people, performance orientation and things like that. Our world is so captivated by what other people think. And many of you are motivated because somebody thinks a particular thing. Young people are in particular subject to this because of peer pressure and you know, the teeny-weeny brains of those people who end up in control in high schools and so forth. I mean, it's just crazy that, you know, we put the kind of pressure on our kids that we do through that. It's just absolutely crazy, but it happens. But God has made us for a specific purpose, and He's gifted us in a specific way. Each one has received a gift, and that gift is specifically molded so that we can serve one another. So our whole purpose on this earth, taking what God has put in us, is to serve others. Anything we do outside of that in its rawest form could be considered disobedience. And that's a heavy thing to say. I realize that. But it absolutely is important for you to recognize that God has put this on the inside of you. Even though you can't define it quite yet, you know there's something in there. And the best way for you to kind of to tell that you have it is in just general conversation. When you speak about something differently and everybody looks at you like you just got off the boat, that's it. You know, when you talk about how you have a heart for your neighborhood, that's it. Or in your job and you're doing whatever it is you do, and all of a sudden, the things of God kind of come out of you. Maybe you're dealing with people and it's completely outside of whatever you're supposed to be doing, but all of a sudden, the stuff of God starts coming out of you. All because of the question that somebody asked. You know, you're doing your thing, selling them insurance or doing their taxes or fixing their hair or changing the oil in their car or whatever, and all of a sudden, there it is. And you talk differently because of what lives inside of you. See, some of you have that thing and you recognize it and it motivates you to prayer. It brings an actionable necessity. See, inside of me, there is this thing that happens. And I hear differently. So for an example, the sermon series that's coming up deals with the power of those seeming insignificant things. I heard it. I heard somebody talk about how insignificant something was, and inside of me jumped up the things of God, and I wrote it down in an instant. And it'll take me 4 weeks because it needs to fit in the case. It'll take me 4 weeks to deliver that oracle, that thing that lives inside of me. No, nothing is insignificant. And off it goes. Okay? So inside of all of you is that gift. So here's the first thing I want you to get today. Change how you talk. Change how you talk. Every one of you is gifted to meet the needs of the circumstances that you're already in. Let me say it to you again. Every one of you is uniquely gifted to meet the needs of the circumstances you're already in. Many people are praying for God to show up. God knew this was coming, whatever this is. He knew what was coming in your life. You have already in you. Already in you. You say, no, I need God to show up. God's not a rescue committee. He's not like the fire department. You don't call 911. Say, oh God, please show up. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He brings with Him the knowledge of your future. And He begins to put into you the things you need for the things you don't want to go through that you complain about when you go through. Now it looks like to me if you change your language, you'd recognize that it's in there and you would never complain. You want to know why complaining is a bad thing? Everybody who did it in the first two books of the Bible died in the wilderness. They were miserable complaining about God, telling Him what He wasn't doing, all the while He was doing everything they needed. But they didn't get it. One of my most favorite scriptures is when Psalms talks about them getting met in the wilderness by God and He gave them quail. He gave them so much quail that it came out their noses. That's like the milk laugh, you know? Or somebody, you know, you get somebody laughing who's had a drink of milk and all of a sudden it's coming out of every orifice on their face. God did that with quail. I think God would have made a good junior high boy. That's pretty funny stuff right there. God has a sense of humor, right? While we're complaining, He's designed that very thing to create in us the strength that He needs to meet the needs of the people that He's put in your life. If all you can do is complain, you'll never get it. You've got to recognize that God has put a gift in you that enables you. I want to tell you something. The world will be transformed by this message. Go back to your community, to your friends. And when they start complaining, say, let me show you something in God's Word. One verse. Each one has received a gift. Use it in serving others. Why do you think you're in the circumstance you're in? You're either in it to be a servant or to be served. Oh, that never goes over well. How many of you would rather give than receive? Yeah, yeah. See, you don't want to be served, do you? But when the Bible says each one has received a gift, use it in serving others, there's got to be some servees and some servers. How many ever complained because you were needy? Americans don't like to be needy. The Bible says in His weakness, in our weakness, He can be strong. I wish you people figure out how to be weaker. Nobody preaches that way. Nobody talks that way. What would be wrong with being the needy one? Well, there's somebody else who, here we go, needs it worse than me. Way to go. You should get your own throne. You got things figured out. They need it worse than you. I love it when that gets said. Each one has received a gift inside of you. It's there. It's called an oracle. It's the weightiness, the weighty recognition of God's Word inside of us in power, importance, and action. That's what it is. Notice, let's read on. Each one has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're taking care of those things. So we understand that God then gifts us by speaking to us and puts something inside of us, and we need to learn how to operate in it. Okay, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Just back, just a little teeny bit, towards the front of your Bible. Just a quarter inch of pages or so. To Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Notice what it says then in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. This word is used again in this place right here, and it says you need somebody to teach you the first principles of the oracles. As we read on, you'll see the point of this, but let me just again reemphasize to you that the Bible has trouble defining this, so it just leaves that word in there, that oracles word. and, you know, prophetic utterance. There's just no great way for us to define it. And so what happens when we get born again is that in the midst of that, God puts in us the understanding that He has done certain things. So for an example, you may still struggle with some point of creation reality, like, you know, like what happened to the dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff. Well, they drowned. There was a big flood. They couldn't swim. Sorry, you're dead. Where'd the oil come from? Well, the flood squished all those dead things, covered them with sediment, and now we're digging it up. You may struggle with some of that. See, I don't. The oracle is that knowledge, power, action, importance that God just gives you. I know Jesus died for me. When I accepted Jesus Christ, something living inside of me went, whoo, Jesus died for me. I was almost arrogant about it. I just knew that. See? And so this says that you have need for the first principles of the oracles of God. One of those principles is, I have a gift. I have a gift. Everyone has received one. Not just special people. By the way, since I'm peculiar by word definition, you know, peculiar people, then you are too. So you're special enough already. You've received a gift. Notice it says, someone to teach you the first principles of the oracle of God. And you have come to need the milk and not solid food. The next verse is the power verse, but let's stop for just a second. We find that because we don't accept these absolute truths, these initial oracles, again, if you received this weighty interpretation of God's Word that you were gifted, it would change how you act. But instead, you come to church and preachers badger and cajole you, trying to get you to realize that you're gifted. They teach you about spiritual gifts and they tell you about things and they say, see, you've done this. And we sit there and we go, well, I don't want to do anything. And so we sit at the back of the church wondering if God would ever use someone like me. And all the while, the very person who is designed to receive from you goes without, you disobedient thing, you. Somebody doesn't get their need met because you can't grab a hold of the fact that you're gifted. Oh, well, you know, somebody else is. Hush puppies, that's not right. That's just not right. See, we need those elementary principles. What would it do to the world if everybody grabbed a hold of this and said, praise God, I'm gifted, and then started looking for the manifestation to happen to somebody? I'm telling you, lunch would be different today. If somebody stood up in Pizza Hut and said, I'm gifted, it'd be different. Why does the word of knowledge just work in the church? That's what happened this morning. Little word of knowledge, little word of wisdom. People came up for joint stuff. Where'd that come from? Oh, it only happens in the church. I was walking one time, over 30 years ago, in a restaurant, walked by a table, and God said to me, as God is my witness, God said to me, tell him, Hebrew secretary, you better know that's God when you turn and talk to somebody you don't even know and tell him, Hebrew secretary. He was looking up in a biblical dictionary the word amanuensis. You know what it means? Hebrew secretary. You know what happened with that guy? He got saved. He's been a lifelong friend. Lifelong friend. You say, well, you're in a restaurant? Yep. Oh, did I tell you I was gifted? I know, see, people, it makes people uncomfortable. And they go, you shouldn't say that. Why not? Well, because people might think bad about you. They already do. Why do you lie to yourself and think that people who look at you because you come to New Life actually think you're normal? You people are crazy. Karen in particular. She's way whacked out. She talks back to God. Right in the middle of service. Starts talking. Well, she's crazy. That woman from Kirk comes. Dear God. You know. Bless her heart. You know, since I mentioned Karen by name and she's now on the tape, did you know that Karen has a significant gift of encouragement? And whenever she comes, she always encourages me. Just using her gift because she's here. See, and some of you people, you just sit there, do nothing. Some of you haven't even notified your face that you're happy. Talk calm, Pastor. Stay down. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, if we tie this understanding of oracles back to elementary procedures and back to the milk of the word, then what we can say about ourselves when we don't understand this is we are still babes in Christ. Do you understand that no amount of gifting can make me able to reach people and meet the needs of all the people in our county or in this area? If you people don't do what God's called you to do, people will go to hell on purpose. Because you lied about what God did in your life. Well, I'm not gifted. I look at Aaron Waitman back there. I love Aaron. Aaron is real. And I'm going to make an assumption here that you don't mind me telling that you're real. We okay so far? Aaron, like all of you, has a past. Everything that happened to him now makes him one of the most qualified people on our jail team. Because he has a gift. Oh! No, we should disqualify him. No. We found the gift. I asked him today at the back door after Sunday school, I said, Aaron, how are you enjoying the jail? He said, oh, I love it. I love it. He loves it. Now, most of you have never been there, but they put us, you know, sorry, Chad, but the Days in. Has a very poor lobby and meeting room. It has hard benches and little things they can handcuff you to. And that's where you meet. It's not conducive to ministry. Right? I mean, it's just not. And these men come out dressed in their little suits. They dress for church. And they sit down in plastic lawn chairs for 30 minutes. And he loves it. Go figure. If I have to keep telling you about the milk that takes you to that place, you will consistently be unskilled in the words of righteousness. That's what this verse says. Now notice verse number 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use. Everybody say reason of use. Okay, let's stop for a second. The elementary principle is, I have a gift. We're talking about operating in the oracle of God now. I don't want you to lose track of what we're talking about. We're talking about operating in the oracle of God. The elementary truth or the initial oracle is that we have a gift. The meat part of that is that it's supposed to come out of us and it needs to be exercised by reason of use. Now I want to tell you something. Having a gift in your pocket and never taking it out, or having a gift wrapped up but never unwrapping it to utilize the full intent of the gift, having that gift but never using it is almost like not having the gift. And it says, by reason of use, have exercised their senses. By reason of use, have exercised their senses. What this means is that when you find that weighty recognition of God's Word on the inside of you, that thing that puts power and importance and action inside of you, when you recognize that, you begin to exercise that, begin to use that, and it heightens your senses. It makes you more aware. Half done. There's a young man at the Bible school who's blind. And he's been there the last 2 years, the last 5 years that Tracy and I have been going. But he's been in the classes I've been going for the last 2 years. And I tell you, he's blind. When he walks in the room and he hears my voice, he said, "Oh, Pastor Klein is here." He's heard my voice for a total of 9 hours over his whole life. But when I talk, he says, "Pastor Klein is here." Want to know why? His sense has been exercised because of his disability. He hears different than you and I. Spiritually, then, if you take what God has put in you and you begin to use it, it will heighten your senses. You will hear differently. You will see differently. You will smell differently. You'll exercise your senses and begin to bring in. You ever heard about those dogs that they have now that can smell cancer? Isn't that interesting? How'd they teach them to do that? They exercised their senses. What if you were gifted through a sense of smell to smell the beginning of cancer in somebody's life, having exercised that, cast it out of them before they ever had a full activity of it? That gives early detection and early warning a new meaning by exercised senses. What if your eyes were so exercised that when you looked out into a room that you saw what people needed? Or you saw what was happening in their life and what the solution was. You were able to warn them. What if your senses, your sight was so exercised? Would you have to then agree with me that you were gifted? What if your hearing was so exercised? See, when I heard that about that guy that was sitting there, oh, by the way, he was a Baptist pastor. I didn't know that. Do you know that I won him over because he thought I was smarter than him in the things of God? Little did he know. I mean, this guy actually has a Bible school diploma on the wall. He's really got the goods. He's a master of divinity, which I take offense for the word master and divinity being put together, but nonetheless, I have but one master, and he is indeed divine. And I don't need the paper to prove it. But nonetheless, because of what God did, you see, what if your senses were so exercised by reason of use? I'd encourage you to listen a little bit better. Do you know that you'll hear inside of how people talk what they need if you listen? If you just exercise your senses. You say, well, isn't that natural? Yeah, it starts natural. And then all of a sudden, almost like magic, when you no longer need the milk, or you've actually chewed up some of this stuff, where you recognize, wait a minute, when God says, I'm going to do thus and so, you hear it differently. So this morning as we were praying and I gave you that warning, I said, hey, we've got to get in pace with God. God's going to speed things up. So let me tell you, by reason of use, I can see spiritually that stuff is lining up. It's almost like it's rolling off the end of a conveyor belt. And it's coming quicker. Some of you are going, what do you mean quicker? I mean get lined up fast. Stuff's happening quick. You say, well, I need to know if it's for me. Decide today. It's for you. I mean, why do you have to sit and wait? Well, I want to wait until God speaks to me. He just did. I'm telling you this week that next week God's going to show up. Be prepared. He's coming, and it's coming fast. So when the thing comes out, prepare yourself this week to run down front next week. Psych yourself up. Give yourself a pep talk. Be the coach of your home. Do some blackboard talk, you know. Give one of them big cheerleading things. Exercise the gift. Practice with your family, for heaven's sakes, husbands and wives. If you've got kids at home, I could just talk slower. If you've got kids at home, take them home today, and when you have lunch prayer, prophesy to them a little bit. You're gifted, remember? Tell them. See, prophecy is merely the foretelling of God's stuff. Tell your kids how much God loves them. That's a prophecy. Ever-increasing love. And by the way, when you exercise your senses, when you exercise your senses, they'll increase in operation. Boy, I hope you're getting this, because I'm about out of juice. I had a whole lot more stuff I want to talk about here. But I hope you're getting this. Who through reason of use have their senses exercised? Now see it carefully. Who by reason of use, the only way to exercise your senses is to use them. We were driving from Ray to Yuma Friday night with Larry and Cindy, or with Larry and Sharon. Had almost had the wrong Larry married to the wrong woman. With Larry and Sharon Hilbert. Sharon and Larry, we're in the back, Tracy and I in the back seat, and Larry and Sharon in the front seat, and they're just chabbering along, and Sharon is telling some story. I don't remember what the story was, but all of a sudden Larry's arm goes like this. And he says, see that coyote? I mean, like 10 miles off the road, there's a coyote standing over there. So I'm looking quick, you know. He turns to his wife, said, did you see it? She goes, nope. Didn't see it. I saw it because I've been riding for 5 years with that man, and he can see an animal before the animal knows where it's standing. And so whenever he points, I look because he's exercised his senses. Now, that's a simplistic thing like that, but let me just tell you, yeah, the guys in the sound booth are going, calm down, calm down. Let me just tell you, brother, just as a word of the Lord to you, okay? Since your natural senses have already learned how to be exercised, brother, go ahead and close your eyes and see in the spirit world, because you've already got the exercising part down. See, God's already using him that way. He's already got a natural inclination to go that direction. And since Larry is gifted that way, maybe some of you needy folks ought to run up to him and say, brother, what do you see? Oh, I couldn't do that. He's just Larry. He's just Larry Hilbert. I've known him and his 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, how many ever kids he's got. You know, I've known him. It's just like those people who knew Jesus, a carpenter. He's just a carpenter's son, right? I know his brothers and his sisters. Well, I know his brothers. I also know he's been exercising his senses. Are you getting this? I about wound up past my prime here. The only way to operate, see, I don't know whether you got the Oracle thing or not, but the only way to operate in it, get the morning CD, I explain it really good in it. The only way to operate in it is to exercise your senses, for by reason of use, boy, if you can get this, it will transform your life, it'll transform your family, it'll transform a ministry in you, and we will leave this place and make a difference in the world. It'll make a difference in the world. And I want to thank Jesus for anointing me even though I was disobedient. That was good preaching, Pastor. That was good preaching right there. Stand to your feet, would you please? Music team, let's move. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to pray for everybody. We're going to pray that everybody takes up the call to exercise. Amen? Takes up the call to exercise that gift. You already know that gift is in there. Okay? And again, you don't need to absolutely understand or even know. Just start exercising. Just start exercising. And by the way, the muscle that hurts is the one you're working. Does that make sense? The muscle that hurts is the one you're working. So begin to exercise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you today. And as we worship, Father, drop it in us. The call, the understanding, the weighty word that says we have to exercise. We have to get past the elementary things and begin to exercise our senses. That we know the difference between good and evil, Father, having exercised our senses. We want to be a vessel of blessing, Father. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's worship and then let's pray.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424. And our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.